Do you want to find solutions that help teams make better decisions, solve problems faster, and free their creative minds to come up with smarter solutions? There's a workshop for that. Bonjour, I'm Nati Ravez, and I'm delighted to welcome to this show facilitators and experts who share their knowledge and experience of everything you need to know in the world of facilitation, giving you tips and tools for leading groups, sparking collaboration, and driving innovation. Thank you for tuning in, and let's go.
I'm thrilled to introduce a special guest today. She's an absolutely lovely person. We met a few weeks ago online, and she is a true master designing visual experiences. For me, her work is not just about creating visual experiences, it's practically art, what you're doing. Her name is Lucy Agolini. She's a Miro expert and the founder of Canvas, a fantastic database of icons I use myself, so we will talk also about this. With over 13 years of experience in UX and UI design, Lucy is passionate about crafting elegant solutions that not only look great, but bring real value to you and your customers. We'll explore the impact of visual design on participant engagement in workshops, and Lucy will share tips on how to include visuals even if you're not a designer. So welcome, Lucy. Happy to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much for an introduction, and I am just so lucky and happy to be sitting here on a call with you this Sunday morning. Thanks for having me.
Where are you in the world, Lucy?
I'm in Amsterdam. That is where I have been for almost 10 years, but I'm from Scotland, as you can tell from the accent.
Oh, I cannot recognize so much the accent, but as long as I can understand what you say, it's okay.
Perfect. Let's move ahead with that one. I'll try and be understandable.
Lucy, before we dive into visual experiences, I would love to know how you came into this. What is your background?
Well, so my background is product design, websites, mm-hmm. apps. And I did that for many, many years, I think around 12 years. And it was during the pandemic where everybody had to stop. I really had to stop because I'd actually just left a three and a half year contract and had a lot of time on my hands. And all of a sudden, my friend Shane Smart introduced me to this platform, and it was Mural. And he showed me how you can collaborate inside this digital space, but that you can do it visually. And my curiosity was piqued. But even more, if I really remember, the story that changed everything was Shane was very concerned about his friends during lockdown because everybody was stuck inside, and a lot of people who generally like to be social weren't able to be social at the weekends. So he had the idea to throw a pandemic party, and he wanted to do it online using Zoom and Mural. And he asked if I wanted to do it, and I said, yeah, absolutely, I've got the time, and this sounds really, really fun. So we designed this party. And we designed the full lead up to the party. So you had like these, we sent out invites to everybody, and the invites came in the form of airline tickets sent on WhatsApp. It was really nice. There was like a link to the Zoom room, the time it was going to start. We told them we were going to take them away to paradise. And so we made this mural with, it was an island. It was a journey to an island. All the atolls had different locations. You could play games. You could go to you could go and meditate if you needed to. You could come to the party bar, the casino. There was, I don't know, about 10 rooms, and we probably had about 50 people come and join us online. And we role played it as well. You know, he was the captain, I was the stewardess, and we were taking them literally on a flight to this island. And it was so much fun, and it showed me like the possibilities for one, creating experiences online that merge visual design and user experience design, because you cannot have one without the other if it's going to be a good experience. And yeah, I was pretty hooked. And since then I've moved over to Miro as my favorite tool of choice, and I create daily and I love it.
Yeah, you start really to work with Miro together from the start. How did it came?
Well, so Miro has been a wonderful client, obviously, because they are the people that make the tool that I love. It took a couple of years, actually. So if you think the pandemic, the first lockdown was 2020, I think I was making templates in Miro for 2 years following that, you know, playing around, thinking about how you can do interesting interactions, how far can you push it? And I was very fortunate to be put in contact with somebody at Miro who opened some doors to discussing projects. And from there, I've designed quite a number of projects, boards for Miro, ranging from, yeah, creating a virtual office for one team to the annual distributed events. So every project is different, which is what I love. And oftentimes with a new team. And they're just really wonderful people at Miro. So not only am I getting to work on what I love, but it's really working with some great people. And that, I think when you're happy in your collaborations and you're working with nice and talented people, that really affects the outcome of what you create together.
Yeah, I think your curiosity and your creativity is then peaked, and you grow more when you work with such kind of people, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of yes anding, you know. It's a really, sometimes if you work on client projects, if they don't feel comfortable or feel inclined to input into the creative process, it's a little bit like steering the ship, right? But often my projects with Miro are, you know, nobody's steering. We're all in it together. Like, it's no one person in the team could have made the board in the end. It had to be input from all of us that makes it special and work.
Yeah. What do you think is the effect or the impact of visualization in a session with a group of people?
First of all, you know, when people land on your workshop, you want them to immediately want to explore it, right? Or at least go, oh, what's going on here? Gone are the days of where Miro boards would just be a whole bunch of sticky notes and, you know, exercises. I think people are really kind of cottoning on to the fact that when we make it visual, we are going to enhance the experience because people are more engaged and want to take a look at it. But also, I think you put so much hard work into the content that is going into your workshop or your document or whatever project you're collaborating on in these in Miro, for example. And if you don't give it a proper home, and I don't mean that it has to be this huge visual world and landscape, but if you don't also pay attention and give love to the way it's presented, I think you do a disservice to your content and all the time, energy and knowledge that has gone into it. So when we make it visual and we make it contextually relevant, we're starting to bridge the gap between text and an experience. And people want experiences. And if we can make work, like, as much as possible, not feel as much like work, then that's great. And I think that visuals play a very big part in that process. They also make it easier to remember, you know?
Absolutely. It's a way of bringing them in an environment from the beginning for exploration, right?
Absolutely. And important, I think, to keep that cohesion, like, to not start off with fanfare and bravado and then let it taper out. There really is, like, almost a story arc in your visuals. There should be times when it's calm and there should be times when it's, like, enthusiastic and confetti and however you want to communicate the emotions at the different stages of your workshop. I think that's important to think about the cadence of the visuals, just like songwriting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was thinking just before, I was thinking as I was writing songs, because I did it for years and I just pause now, but I will continue, of course. But when I write a song, I write first the music, okay? And the music will inspire me for the text. And the whole thing will inspire me at the very end for a title. And then if it's a song that I put on Spotify and or on YouTube or whatever, and I need a cover of it, then I will listen to the song, listen to the text, listen to the story and think, okay, what do you feel is the universe of this song and what kind of cover do I want to put on it? Is your process a little bit of the same?
First of all, I just want to say I love hearing about that process. Because I think when you write songs, you could do it in so many different ways, couldn't you? You could write the text first and then the music and or you just playing with different bits and pieces and jamming them all together and seeing how you can connect them. And then that you listen to what those sounds accompanied by the text say to you. Actually, that part's very different from the way that I design the boards. The projects will always be dictated by what the objectives are from the client. And not my objectives personally, but what I seek to bring out through the design for the project, what it needs. So there are already like parameters defined that are going to define how it looks and what you're going to see. And then it depends if I'm working with a client or if I'm working on my own stuff, because it's a completely different process. And my own stuff, it's just gut. It comes out and that can be really satisfying to have a friction-free, and I don't mean friction, you know, it just, you're just going. There is no rerouting, considering. It's just really straight from the heart. And then with the client work, it is always from the heart, but it's more constructed and follows a process through different steps. So I think mine is probably a little bit more formulaic than how you do your the creation of your covers. Did that answer your question?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Are you ready to ride the freelance wave as a facilitator? Join us for the second cohort of the Takeoff Bootcamp kicking off in fall 2024. If you're feeling lost in the fog, unsure of where to start or how to make your facilitation services shine and attract clients, we are here to guide you out of that haze. Sounds interesting? Find the link to join our waitlist for the fall 2024 cohort in the show notes.
When I design a session, I am the one who will facilitate and I am the one who is designing. And you are a designer of boards. So I was just wondering, Are you acting like the workshop designer who will facilitate, or are you working together with persons who will facilitate and then you just concentrate on the visual?
100% the latter. So I am not a facilitator, though it is very helpful for me to have a good rounded knowledge of what facilitation is, also how you facilitate in online tools. I mean, that part I have to know. That's very important. Otherwise, I can be suggesting that you use interactions that are, you know, perhaps above the skill set of the group or just a little bit more complicated than they need to be. That's definitely one thing. When you're proficient in a tool, you tend to prescribe a way of doing things that you think is very easy, but actually you must watch people and see that actually, no, what you've done is perhaps a little bit, just more involved than it needs to be. I think keep it simple when it comes to interactions and how you do the exercises. And to come back to your question, I like to design to other people's material. So it's like, give me what your workshop is. How would you do it if you didn't have any visuals, but you were going to run the workshop today? And then I can see what your content is, see what actions you're asking everybody to do. And then we work on what's your visual story. How do you want that applied through the experience? And how can you apply your kind of your story theme also to the interactions that you're doing? So just taking, for example, your wonderful boot camp and you have the surfing theme, right? And how you've tied everything into surfing, not just the visuals, but the terminology and some of the exercises. It's, you know, it really feels like you're in a world all driving towards this metaphor, and that's beautiful. And so it's how do you help, how do I as the designer help to spot the places where we could start to really bring the story in throughout every part of the workshop?
Yeah. And I have to say, I had so much pleasure to design it, because I'm not a designer. So of course I had pleasure to draw the story, to ask myself, okay, where do I want to bring my participants? What steps do they need to do so that they are shifting the mindset during the workshops and start to think to their customer and not what they are offering? But at the very end, because I was thinking, okay, surfing the freelance facilitator wave, I was just wondering, oh, I would like to have a few surfer. I would like to do something. And then I started to create it. And it was like, I told you, it was like hours. I spent hours when I was producing songs. It was the same effect. Like I could spend a whole night on it. Yep. I'm not a designer, so I did it with simple tools for me, like Canva. I did a lot in Canva, and then I uploaded my pictures in Miro. So it was a simple thing, and not designer way of doing this. I'm just wondering, with which kind of tools are you working? Because when I look at your boards, it's another world. It's like, I would love to be able to do the same.
First of all, I just thanks for the other world compliment. That's very nice. You know, I put a lot of heart into it, but I just want to come back to what you were saying about not being a designer, but fully falling in love with the creative process of creating your board. Because when I look at your board, it doesn't matter that you're not a designer. The joy is just leaping out at me. It is such a beautiful board and I love it. And I think it's a prime example of how you don't have to be a designer to create boards that people want to spend time in. Absolutely beautiful. Because I am a designer, my background's design, I know the design tools, you know, so I'm always starting in the professional design tools. Personally, I use Figma and Adobe Illustrator the most. They're the ones where I will basically assemble my design in Figma. And then I will bring all of those elements when it's ready into Miro. Most of the time, sometimes I will design directly in Miro if it's a quick one, or I don't know, creating a birthday card for somebody, then yeah, we just jump straight in. But if it's a considered effort, it's we'll start in one of those tools. But like I said, you do not have to be a designer to create amazing Miro boards and graphics in there. There's plenty of routes you can go down.
Yeah, and now you can create so much pictures also with AI. You have so much database of pictures that you can find everywhere, so you don't need to have high skills to do that. But I would love to have your skills. I mean, if I could put a USB stick between your brain and my brain, I would love to have the skills to design. I think the creativity I have, but I don't have these skills. But this is what makes you unique. Does it mean that you are just working with Miro? Or if someone like me would love to, has an idea of a big workshop where you can earn money, of course, because it's also an invest, can anybody call you and tell, listen, Lucy, I need your creativity and your skills because I need to create a great environment for a special workshop?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I work with lots of different kinds of clients. You know, Miro, very fond special relationship because there's, you know, usually for big projects, big events, but I love helping others take a repeatable workshop, you know, one that merits the time and investment going into creating a little world for it. Or helping people to create templates so that when they're pulling together their next Miro board, even if it's just for a team catch-up meeting, that they have the framework to make their boards look similar each time, well presented each time. I think we forget that there should be a system behind and templates behind what we have in Miro so that we're not constantly having to make things from scratch, having to search for that thing that we made before that we really should have saved in a library because it was good and we want to use it again. So there's lots of different ways that I can help other people make the most out of their time in Miro and also show off their brand and their story and give their participants an experience that's enjoyable and memorable.
Yeah. But there are a lot of things that you are doing also that we can all use. I mean, you created something that is very valuable for someone like me who is not drawing. You create a whole database of, I think it's more than 9,000 icons. Yes. And I use it myself and you called it Canvas, written CNVS. Can you tell us more about that? Because this is a great solution for lots of facilitators out there.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much for bringing it up. Canvas is my baby. I worked on Canvas for actually, I think about 18 months or 2 years before it got released. Yes, it was like, I'm going to be releasing this new set next week, which really excites me. But when I do that, it will be 9,500 icons, and I can't wait to get to the 10,000 mark. I'm really excited. But it brings me such joy to hear you and other people who say that it brings you true value. Because that was what I wanted. I know that a lot of people want to kind of emulate that really nice, loose, organic, sketch-based feeling in their workshops, just to make it a little bit more relatable with people in poses, doing things. So I thought, well, you can buy illustration sets, but the problem that often happens and that I've experienced myself is they're finite. Somebody will have created an education illustration set in their style and you really, really like it, but there's only 15 illustrations and they've made another one for medical and they've made another one for office, but it stops. You generally won't find more than 100, 200 in the same style. So you are capped if you want to branch out. So my idea with Canvas was I really wanted a huge library so that you can build your own scenes for your workshops or your visual documents, but that it was all looked consistent. And so, yeah, I forgot. I made this illustration library. I recommend it. It comes recommended with some apps that you can use to change colors and easily search. You can search, you can drag and drop it into any document that accepts images. And it is such a joy to see what people make with it. So just on, when was it, Friday, somebody sent me this image of a workshop they'd created inside a house that had so many different rooms with all of the stuff from Canvas in it. It looked beautiful. And she had made it before I'd even released this new furniture and rooms collection where you can build your own office and all the different floors. So she'd done this before I'd even created that set. And that for me was, you know, you don't actually see that very often where people reach out with the Loom video to walk you through what they'd done to say thank you. And it melted my heart and made me send on to my mum because I don't think she quite understands what I do. But at least if she can see this video and understand that I am doing something that does make an impact for at least one person. And so that was very gratifying. And to know that you use it too is very gratifying. And so thank you very much for letting me know and showing me how you're enjoying Canvas.
Yeah, I really love it. It's delivered with cute videos where you explain step by step what you need to do. So it's very good made and you always have the same design. So this is what was for me interesting, that I have picture that are always with the same design when I build a workshop for a big corporate, because with these little icons that you can change the color, you can customize them. Then you have your own, it's you designed this, but we can integrate it in our own brands. So this is what I think is very, very valuable here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. We will put in the show notes all the link to Lucy's profile on LinkedIn, the link to her work, the link to Canvas. Mm-hmm. And I just encourage you to look at her boards and to use her products, because it will simplify the way you build your workshops. This is really solution-oriented for facilitators.
Thank you, Nati. It is always such a pleasure to spend time with you, and this has been no different. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye, Lucy.
Bye.
What did you enjoy the most in this episode? I'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and takeaways. Send them over to podcast@laworkshoppers.com. Concerning Lucy, you can find all her contact details in the show notes and all the links to see her work or to download the database of Canvas. Coming up next, we have an exciting guest, Jan Keck, the creator of the Ask Deep Questions card decks that I love and the ambassador of Ice Melters, will join us to discuss how to engage participants in your sessions. So stay tuned, and until then, I wish you good health, success, and lots of happiness. Thanks for listening. Au revoir.